Hey, I'm ready to jump into God's Word with you together today, and I hope you're ready as well. And I got a message today that is titled, Calm Down. Calm Down. What a title for a message. So here's the good news. Because that was the title of today's sermon, you can work it into any conversation for the rest of the day and you have an out. If someone starts to get upset with you, you can just go, calm down is what Pastor preached about today. And you'll just be off the hook. They can't get upset with you for saying it or anything because you'll just be able to have attached it to a different sentence. Well, maybe you might want to be careful with that one. But anyway, today's message is titled that, Calm Down. Let me read a passage from the book of Judges to you. Judges chapter number 6, just two verses to begin, verses 23 and 24, and they say this. But the Lord said to him, now him in this context, so you know, is Gideon. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. Hey, wherever you are, at home or wherever, I want to encourage you to say that right now, at that altar that you're at right now. The Lord is peace. Peace. Come on, you want to hold on to that in your life. The Lord is peace. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for your word. I pray that once again, it will equip us to live for you in this day. God, we live in what is perhaps the most stressed out day of our lifetimes, no matter how old we are. These are days that are unprecedented in so many ways. We are navigating through things that no one alive has ever navigated their way through before. And I know there's been all sorts of situations over time, but these are some unique days. So we look to you today. The Lord is peace. We look to you, Lord God, even as Gideon called that place, and we speak it over our place, our own personal altars today, wherever we're at, Lord God. And I pray that you would equip us to live through these days. We'll receive that from you. And church, I want to encourage you to pray with me right now. You can repeat after me as you pray, Lord, give me your peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, the story of Gideon is a pretty familiar one to many of us. If not, you can read it all through Judges chapter 6 there and check it out as well. And it's an exciting one. But God called him and called Gideon in such a unique way. And I'm not going to tell his whole story today. I want to just kind of talk about the response here. God called Gideon in such a unique way, and he gave Gideon a task that was beyond his ability. It was beyond his knowledge. It was beyond his resources. I've seen before some people share things that say things like, well, God would never put on you more than you're able to bear. I got news for you. You better believe he will. There's nothing in the Bible that says anything like that. God will gladly put more on you than you are ever able to bear. That's why we need him, hallelujah. That's why we need the Spirit of God in our lives, because I go through things consistently that are more than I can bear. If I could bear everything on my own, I don't even need God in my life. I'll be just fine in this lifetime. But Gideon is someone who's in a position where God's given him more. God's given him more than he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to handle it. He wouldn't know how to walk through this. And God comes to him and gives it to him. And Gideon is overwhelmed by the whole experience. There's this angelic visitation, the miraculous nature of how he's called, the task to lead an army into battle, greatly outnumbered. And in the midst of all of this, we could say that Gideon got a little stressed out. Ever get a little stressed out with what your day held? It happened to Gideon. There was a little stress related to this. It was a little more than he thought he could handle. And then God comes to him and gives him a very practical word. A very simple word, a word from God. And I want to show you the verse again, but I want to show it to you from the GWV, God's Word Version. It's another translation, Judges 6:23. I already read it once, but here's how it's worded in that version. Judges 6:23, it says this, the Lord said to him, calm down, don't be afraid, you will not. Now, if you're with somebody, I want you to turn to them right now and tell them, you need to calm down. Listen, you're totally off the hook with being able to say that today. Nobody can get upset with you. Look at somebody right now and say, you need to, just look at them, calm down. That's God's word. I want to hang out on those words today. Calm down. Come on, we are living, hello. We are living through a stressful stretch of time. As if life doesn't already bring enough stress, we're living through a stretch of time that has just thrown all the more on it. I mean, everything about our days brings stress. The pandemic, of course, brings stress. The uncertainty surrounding it, of not knowing how it's going to go, and the constant watching of the numbers, and is it going up here? Is it going down there? And how are the hospitalizations? And how is this? And what's going to happen with work? And what's going to happen with school? And then there's the never-ending conspiracy theories that surround all of it. And all of it can just become stressful in our lives as we try to navigate all this kind of stuff. And for parents, I don't have small children at home anymore. I'm off the hook on that one. But for parents of school-age children, you just went through having to virtually and homeschool your children to end a school year to only now be told they're probably not going back. If they're in Montgomery, we're being told it's all virtual come September, and there's a gradual. I hope I'm not the one who just broke that news to you right here in this sermon, but anyway, and then a gradual return that is along the way. And I mean, for a parent, it's like, how do you navigate that and get through that? And that's not just stressful for parents. That's stressful for students. That's stressful for students as well, for kids. And when home learning first began, I read a post that was online. Some of you will have seen it along the way. There was a post from a little 8-year-old boy. And once the school was going to close and he was sent home, his teacher sent the students home with a journal, and he was told, you're going to write in your journal each day how it's going, to maintain a journal through this time. He was only 8 years old, and it was only his first day of homeschool, virtual learning. On his very first day, he wrote in his journal, and his mom shared his journal online. It went viral. We have it on the screen, actually, the writing. This is the actual writing from Ben, 8 years old, where he wrote these words in his journal. Day one, he wrote, "It is not going good. My mom's getting stressed out. My mom is really getting confused. We took a break so my mom can figure this stuff out, and I'm telling you, it is not going good." What an assessment from 8-year-old Ben on what life was like. And that was at the very beginning of this season, let alone 3-4 months later as you walk through. So working from home, school from home, people who've endured unemployment, sanitizing everything, masks, social distancing, canceled vacations. Come on, it's a tough season. It's a tough season. It really is. And then, of course, you throw all the politics in of our day and everything else, and controversy and the tension and friction that comes in our country. And these can be a stressful stretch of time to navigate. And statistically, we're reading that stress is really on the rise in our land, in our country, and I suppose all around the world. It's all around us. We're not really exempt from it as believers. Gideon was a believer. Gideon believes in God. And although his days were not our days, but if there's one thing he definitely had in common with us, Gideon had reason to get stressed out. He had reason to get stressed out in his day. More was being asked of him than he felt prepared for. More was being required of him. And he stepped back and he looked at his circumstances, and it would have been very easy for Gideon to conclude, this is not going to end well. This is not going well. I don't like this. The odds were stacked against him. And it is in that context of the stress of this is too much that God drops this word on him, where God gives him this overly simplistic word, where he's straight to the point, where Gideon is looking at his circumstances, and God shows up and says, calm down. Calm down. Wow. Now, in the classic King James Version, the word was peace. God just speaks that word over him, which is powerful. Peace. He speaks like Jesus over the storm. Peace, and it stopped. God speaks that over him. But if I brought Gideon forward in time to 2020, God probably would have said, keep calm. He probably would have said, keep calm and carry on, or whatever, as we would say now. He tells him, calm down. Now, we know that's a lot easier said than done. It always is. But we're a people who believe that the Word of God is fresh bread. Come on. We believe that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And so what does the Bible teach us about navigating stressful days? What does it tell us to do in this day? What kind of instructions would it give us? Because it sure can't be God's plan for us to just live stressed out. I know that. Stress is harmful to us in every way. It's harmful to us spiritually. It's harmful to us mentally. It's harmful to us physically. It has terrible effects on our physical bodies as well. So it can't be God's plan to just that we just have to live stressed out as believers. So what kind of things does God give us to do in this? And there's a lot more than I can ever fit into one sermon. But let me give you some tools to equip you. That's my call, is the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry to help us to navigate these days. The first one I want to give you is to remember who your Father is. To remember who your Father is. Now, I'm an earthly father, obviously. Well, I shouldn't say obviously, but I am, in case you didn't know. And I'm an earthly father. So I know what it's like for it to be like 8:30 p.m. on a Tuesday evening, and my 10-year-old son comes into the room to me to say, Dad, I need a poster board, and I have to print out information on cumulus clouds and put them on there for a presentation at school. And I say to my 10-year-old son, and when is this due? And of course, what does he say? Well, you didn't hear, someone in the room said today, and I won't tell you who it is, but her initials are Melissa Ruiz. But anyway, but he doesn't say today because it's 8:30 at night, but he says tomorrow. But he needs it today, so she's half right. He needs it. I'm like, when did you find out about that you needed this presentation? Like, you found out about this a half an hour ago? No, of course, he's probably known for a couple of weeks, and he's just coming to me on the night before it's due to inform me that he needs a, and he's stressed out because he knows I'm out of time. He's stressed. He doesn't have the poster board. He doesn't have the stuff. But now, not only is he stressed out, guess who else is stressed out? Now I'm stressed out. Because now I know we're going to Walgreens or CVS or wherever to find a poster board at 9 o'clock at night, and we're going to be up tonight on the computer printing stuff out to put together a presentation so he can be ready when he goes to school tomorrow. And everything about the whole situation is, come on, why wouldn't you let me know this ahead of time, and how would you do this? Well, here's the big difference between God and me. Here's the big difference between me as an earthly father and God as a heavenly father, and that is, you can't stress God out when you get stressed out. It can't happen. With my son, he can, because I don't see what's coming. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Catch this, family. You've never surprised God with a prayer request. You never have. You've never prayed anything in your life that surprised God. My sons have come to me before, and I had no way of knowing what was coming. No way to prepare for it. That's never happened with you and your Heavenly Father. Every time you have ever said anything to God about anything, God always already knew what you were going to say. Already knew it. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter number 6, he taught us that our Father knows what we have need of before we even ask him. Before, now, we still ask him because we're told to bring our petitions before him, and God moves in answering prayer. So it's the tool in our toolbox that he's given us to access him, but he already knows in advance. So you've never gone to God with a prayer request and prayed something, and God is like, what? That's never happened with God. God always knew in advance. Let's pick a Bible character. Let's pick a familiar one. I picked on him last week in my sermon, so I'll pick on Jonah. Pick on Jonah for a second. Imagine if Jonah had a cell phone. Now, probably not a lot of people had cell phones in Jonah's day, so that's probably why he didn't have one. But for the purpose of my story, let's just imagine that Jonah had a cell phone and you were his friend. So let's bring Jonah into our day. Jonah's got a cell phone, you're his friend, and let's also imagine in our story that Jonah has good phone reception inside the fish. So we know he doesn't have Sprint or whatever. I don't know. Forgive me if you have Sprint. He has Verizon or AT&T or something, maybe T-Mobile. I don't know what he has. So Jonah's in the fish. He doesn't have Cricket Wireless or whatever. Jonah's there, and he has good phone reception from inside the fish. He still has Wi-Fi, he's in the fish. The fish swallows him, and he's stressed out, and he calls you. He calls you. You're his friend. Your phone rings. You answer your phone. Hello, and it's Jonah, and he starts to tell you his situation. Hey, I'm inside this fish, and what is your reaction as Jonah begins to say these things to you? You're like, whoa, back up. What did you just say? Where are you? What do you mean you're inside of a fish? Everything he says to you is a surprise. Everything he says to you throws you. And then he leaves you with, you've got to help me. You've got to get me out of this. Now you hang up. Now, not only is he stressed out inside the fish, you're stressed out because you got to figure out what to do and you got to figure out who do I call, and I hope he's got an iPhone finder on or something. How are we going to locate him inside the fish to come up with a plan? But Jonah didn't call a friend. He called God. And God's not surprised by any prayer requests. God already knew that he was inside the fish. You can't stress God out when you call on him. Jonah didn't pray, and God is like, where are you? No one has ever prayed a prayer like that to God. God has never been like, how is this even possible? This is a season to remember who your Father is. Your Father is someone who knows everything you have need of before you even ask him. Your Father is someone who is always watching over you. Your Father is someone who always has a plan over your life. Remember who he is. Now, I love Psalm 118. Man, I love it. It's a good one. And I love the Psalms altogether, like you probably do as well. Come on, there's I was reading through the major prophets recently in my own Bible reading, and I got bogged down for a bit. I'm confessing to you as the pastor. I got bogged down for a bit in Ezekiel, and I was like, man, I need an Ezekiel break. And I went and read Psalms for a little while, and then I went back and finished knocking out Ezekiel afterwards. I know I'm not the first person who went back to the Psalms in their Bible reading. But Psalm 118 is a great one, and it creates a beautiful word picture that I'll get to in just a second, but it's going to be a picture that's going to apply to what I want to tell you right now. I'm not really claustrophobic. Maybe I am a little bit, but I'm not extremely claustrophobic, but I am a little bit. But you know these people that do, what do you call these people that go down in caves, spelunking? I don't know what it is, where they go in caves where they literally drag themselves through the cave. Now, I'm not talking about, like, I've been to Luray Caverns down in Virginia, and it's wide open. I've been to some caverns that are wide open. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about cave people. They're not cave people. Stay with me, all right? So I'm talking about people that go into caves. Maybe they're cave people. I don't know. And they go into these caves where they literally lay down on their stomachs, and they drag themselves through these narrow passageways to explore these caves. I'm going to tell you right now, if you called me and said, Pastor, we're going to go through these caves, and there's these narrow passageways, and we're dragging ourselves through, and it's so cool, I'm just going to be like, that ain't happening. That's just not happening with me. I can't do that. I can do some crazy stuff, but I can't go in there. I won't do well with that. I won't like that closed-in space along the way. I have to kind of know how I'm going to get out of something. I have to know my way out. So my wife and I, back in February, we weren't going in a cave, fortunately. My wife is a little different than me than this. My wife at times seems to have no fears of anything on the planet whatsoever. So altogether. So we're on a cruise this past February, before everything got locked down, right before it all did. And we're on this cruise. We're out of New Orleans. We have a couple of stops in Mexico. We stop in Cozumel. And in Cozumel, you can go in this little submarine, and I say little, it's there, a bunch of people fit in it, I don't know, 20 some 30 people, but it's just a tube. You take a boat out, you go in the submarine goes like 100 feet down into the ocean, and you get to see water and fish and everything else that's down in the ocean, and that's all that. So my wife hears about the submarine and she is so excited. She is so excited that she's going to get to go in the submarine, and she tells me, oh, let's go in the submarine. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, and I ask some questions, but then I realize I have to act tough or whatever because I'm a guy, and like, oh. So anyway, so we're going to go in the submarine. We go on the cruise. We take the boat out. We go down in the little submarine. When we go into the little submarine and we get down in there to your seat, my wife, from like the moment she gets in there, she's excited. She's taking pictures. She's looking out the windows. I'm going to tell you, me, before they ever did any safety presentation, I already know where my life preserver is, and I've already read the instructions on the escape hatch. I'm looking up there. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get out, and then straight up, sure as I stand here, the whole time that submarine was under the water, the hatch we came in dripped. I was like, you got to be kidding me. We've lost our minds. Yeah, so anyway, I needed a Jonah's cell phone to make a call. So we're in there, but it was fun. It really was, actually. We saw some cool stuff. It was exciting. It was fun. But for me, when we came back up and the submarine resurfaced and they opened the hatch and I came up the ladder and I stepped outside, I like that better. I like being outside and there's space around me and it's wide open, and I'm a little more comfortable in that situation than I am in the close-knit situation. And maybe that's why I like Psalm 118 so much, because I'm going to read this to you. We'll show it to you. We'll put it up as well. But Psalm 118 creates this beautiful word picture in verses 5 and 6, and the psalmist writes this. He says, "When hard-pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Leave that up for me. Leave that here for a bit. Leave that there. Hard press. That's stress. Stress presses you. The pressure is on. The pressure is on. The weight is on you. You felt it before. You might be feeling it right now. You'll feel it again. It can feel like everything is closing in on you. I love that the psalmist says when he was hard pressed, he cried to the Lord. He remembered who his father was. He calls out to him, and God brought him where? Into a spacious place. You know what that tells me? God brought him to a place of comfort. God brought him to a place of peace. It's not all closed in on him now. He's in a better place, a better place. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." Come on, God is big. If God is with you, you're in a spacious place. You're in an open place. Remember who your father is. Call on him. He will bring you to that place. When my son needed materials for a presentation at 8:30 p.m., he didn't go knock on the neighbor's door. He goes to his parent. God is your father. He is a loving parent, and you couldn't stress God out if you tried. You couldn't. You go to him. Let me keep moving. Man, I really hung out on that point for a long time. So let me give you these last two super fast, really quick. All right? Stay with me. The next one is this. And we're talking about dealing with stress. The first one is I'm going to remember who my father is. The next one is I'm going to remember to rest. I'm going to remember to rest. Now, I confessed about the claustrophobia a little bit in the first point. I got to be honest with you. I'm not good at this one. In fact, I'm so not good at this one. I mentioned yesterday to Sarai that one of my sermon points was remember to rest, and she chuckled when I said it along the way. So I don't do so good at the rest thing. I tend to be kind of a go, 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 but I'm better. I'm better than I used to be. I do believe that about myself, but I'm still a work in progress, I will confess, as I stand before you in this one. But I know it's biblical. I know it's biblical. The Bible teaches us that after 6 days of creation, God rested on the seventh day to model this for us, to take a break along the way. He rested from his work, and he set such a great example for us in this. We weren't created to just go and go and go. It increases our stress level. When we're tired, we need to pause. It's time to rest. And you get tired. I get tired. Here's the good news. Jesus got tired. When Jesus was, not now, but when he was here on earth, Jesus got tired. John 4:6 tells us one of the times where it's just in the routine of his life. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Jesus was tired, so he took a break. He sat down to rest. Just last Sunday, we remembered the account where the storm came up. When I talked about how we need Jesus in our boat, and where was Jesus? Jesus was taking a nap. Jesus was sleeping through the storm. He was resting. He was tired. Never forget that when someone asks the questions, what would Jesus do? Take a nap is always one of the possible answers to that question, because he did do that when he was here on earth. Jesus sometimes would just go off by himself, the Bible tells us. He would head off alone and spend time on his own, or maybe he would just take just three of the disciples with him and go off and just be with them for a bit. And sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is nothing, or at least not work. Not work, I should say. Now, Jesus was busy. He was always busy. People never left Jesus and the disciples alone. They followed him everywhere he went. He was called upon constantly. He had a lot to do. He had a lot to teach. He had a lot of miracles to perform. He's fulfilling all the prophecies. He's training the disciples. He needs to finish everything he had come to do before he goes to the cross. Jesus is so busy that on one occasion, the Bible says that he and the disciples had been so busy that they didn't even have time to eat. Come on, that's busy. He's so busy, and the disciples are so busy that they didn't even have time to eat. And he'd been sending the disciples out in pairs to go and heal the sick and teach people about him, and they had come back. And the account's in Mark chapter number 6. Let me read it to you really quick. Mark 6, 30 through 32. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, "We can't quit now. We've got to work harder and keep going. Don't." No. Jesus doesn't say anything whatsoever like that. He says nothing even remotely close to it. Instead, Jesus says this, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Wow. Jesus didn't just model getting things done. He also modeled taking a break when it was needed as well, of getting some rest. Rest can be hard to come by these days when you're working from home and teaching your kids from home, and it can be so hard to disconnect, and we can feel guilty about resting if we're not careful. But remember that the Bible refers to Sabbath rest as holy. Taking a day, taking time to rest is a godly thing in our lives, and we don't need to feel guilty about that. And resting can make us feel guilty if we're not careful. There's a mom out there who, you know, you go on IG and there's some mom you follow who does some post where she says something like, "After my 5 a.m. workout at the gym, I came home and made homemade bread, and here's the mural I just finished painting on my child's bedroom wall, and it's 8 a.m. And you're like, "Is this for real? Is this even possible?" And meanwhile, you're trying to make toast or waffles for your kids or something. And we live in this age of comparison in our lives where we compare our everyday life to people's highlight reels, and the pressure can be on us altogether. And then we turn on the news and there's the barrage of news in our lives, and news just never ends. It comes and comes and comes, and most of the time it's not really news. It's just commentary on the news. And we don't really have 24-hour news in America. We have 24 hours of people's opinions about the news is what the news channels tend to be, where it's just this constant barrage of telling us what to think and what's going on and everything. And part of resting can mean disconnecting at times, of just saying, "I have to pull back from everything for a season. I've got to disconnect. I need to rest." And that's not being negligent or not caring. That's taking care of yourself as a believer in Christ Jesus is what that can be doing as well. So I want to encourage you to remember that. These are stressful days. And then let me give you just a last thought today and pull these together, all right? We're remembering who our Father is. We're dealing with stress. We're remembering to rest. And just a final thought today, and that is to remember to bring someone along with you. Remember to bring someone along with you. We're looking at what the Bible tells us about responding in these days. Last Sunday, we talked about who was in our boat with us. Well, come on, we want to remember to bring someone with us. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 tells us this. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Now, we've started to reconnect some in recent days. We've started to come back out some, and maybe you're back out some, and maybe not. But even here at the church, we've started to reconnect some. We're doing some outdoor things and things like that, and have started to reconnect in different ways as we're working our way back in. But these have still been some days of extreme isolation altogether. And there's a lot of isolation that has come along with the pandemic. I want to encourage you to not live isolated, even in the midst of it. I'm not encouraging you to ignore the safety guidelines. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just encouraging you to not live in isolation, because it's not good for you. Two are better than one. Two are better, because if there's two, come on, it says it right there. When one of you is down, you have somebody to help you up. Everybody needs somebody to help them up sometimes. Stress can bring you down. Be sure you have someone to help you up. If you don't have someone to help you up, you need to look for somebody to help you up. You need to keep people around to help you up. We're in a day where I read things where in the last few months, alcoholism in America is way up. Drug use is way up. Depression is way up. This is a stressful season on us in our nation, and truthfully around the world with all that we're going through. Knowing all of that, let a brother or a sister in Christ be there to lift you up when you're down. As Jesus was approaching the cross, he took his disciples with him when he went out to the garden to pray, but then he took Peter, James, and John a little farther so that he wouldn't be alone. Now, I know they fell asleep and stuff, but Jesus still modeled for us two are better than one. There's a lot of stress, and he knew, I need somebody with me right now. I need somebody along with me for this. So I want to encourage you to make sure that you're reaching out in this season. And Jesus set this example for us. Go for a walk with a friend or a relative. Call someone. Text someone. Pray with someone. Reach out when you're feeling pressed, not only to your Father, although he's a good Father, praise God, but also, and he'll take you to that spacious place, but get a friend who will go there with you also. Paul wrote to the church in Galatians 6:2 these words, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. Now, we emphasized this a lot in the early days of the shutdown of the pandemic, of how important it was to stay connected. But perhaps it's more important now even than then, as time has gone on. I want to encourage you to not disconnect from the body of Christ. And part of what we're doing right now is connecting, but throughout the week as well, text one another, encourage one another. Just this morning, I get a text from Brother Donald with a Bible verse encouraging me. He does those things faithfully. That's important. I would encourage us all to walk in that and reach out and lift each other up in this season and to not walk through it alone. And if you feel like you don't have anybody you can do that with, if you're watching me right now or even later today you watch this and you said, Pastor, I really don't feel like I have anybody, write this down or save this recording. Pastor@silverspringag.org. Pastor@silverspringag.org. That's not a generic email address. That comes straight to me. I'll get it. I check it all the time. I would get it. If you just feel like, man, I don't really have anybody to pray for me, anybody at all to do that, then tell me. And I mean that. Let me know that as well. And either I'll help you or I'll help connect you with somebody also. But we want to make sure that we stay connected and don't walk alone. Let me close this. In Psalm 94, the psalmist writes, when anxiety was great within me, catch this, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. That consolation comes from the Word of God. So when anxiety is great within you, be sure to do what God's Word says to do. Come on, remember who your Father is and call on Him. Reach out to Him. Make sure you're resting. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. Make sure you're doing that in this season. And stay connected with a brother or sister in Christ Jesus. That's a very practical word, and that's your word for today. I want to encourage us to walk in it, to live that out, and I'm going to pray over you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you. I thank you in Jesus' name for your word. I pray right now over those of us, over everybody who hears me right now, and even those who will hear it later. I pray over us considering the stress that we live in this day, and I speak over us. I speak over your church right now. Peace. Peace. And we receive a word from you today, and that's that word that you gave to Gideon, and that's the word, calm down. Calm down. God, we're going to trust in you, we're going to rest in you, and we're going to help one another as the body of Christ to continue to navigate these days. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hey, live a victorious week in Christ Jesus this week. I know God's still got great things in store for you. Have a great week. Amen.